NYU's controversial plan to add some 2.5 million square feet of new construction, roughly the size of the Empire State Building, to the area south of Washington Square, has neighborhood residents up in arms. And 2 weeks ago, Community Board 2, which includes Greenwich Village, rejected the plan. It now goes to the borough president's office, the city planning commission, and the city council. And we've asked some people who have been following this issue to come in, talk about it. Vin Cipolla, president of the Municipal Arts Society, which is hosting a debate on the plan tomorrow night. Brad Hoylman, chair of Community Board 2, and Mark Crispin Miller, professor of media, culture, and communication at NYU. We did invite NYU President John Sexton to participate in this discussion, but received no response until today when we were informed that he is traveling and no one else was available to join us in this conversation. But we are very pleased to welcome our three panelists to our show. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Vin, can you explain briefly what the plan involves? How many new buildings in all?
It's four new buildings. It's on the plan encompasses what's referred to as the two super blocks of NYU, which are bordered by Houston to the south and West Third to the north. And it's four buildings and an awful lot of reworking of public space.
And to be used for what? Dorms, classrooms, offices?
About 17% of what's proposed is for academic space, and the rest is dormitories and amenities for students, faculty, a hotel, a proposed school, public school.
A hotel that would have nothing to do with the school per se, probably.
Well, I mean,
where parents might stay if they're
whatever
coming.
Their intentions are for the proposed hotel, right?
Would it add more residents to the area?
It would, in that there's, obviously there's dormitory and faculty housing proposed, so it would increase the volume on those two blocks.
How do the proposed buildings compare in height and overall bulk with regard to the surrounding neighborhood?
They're bigger. The proposed building on the corner of Mercer and Houston, which is referred to as the Zipper Building, reaches up on the corner to about 300 feet, which is taller than anything else around it. The two buildings in Washington Square Village would be taller than the buildings that are there now.
Has the Municipal Arts Society taken a position on the plan?
We've made a number of recommendations. I mean, we recognize, as most groups have recognized, that institutions need to expand and revitalize, but we've been concerned about how aggressive the plan is for that area of the city. I mean, we're concerned about livability, as you know, and so we do have concerns about the plan.
And you said that you're also concerned about precedents for similar approaches in other parts of the city.
We are. I mean, we look at these projects with respect to how they inform other things like them across the city, other plans to expand institutions. And there are very similar issues that are at play across institutional expansion. So we have a broad context in mind.
Brad, Community Board 2 voted no on this plan 2 weeks ago. What were your reasons for rejecting it?
Well, let me just say that in a neighborhood that's, legion, known to have many, many different opinions, NYU seems to have done the impossible, which is united Greenwich Village in a way that I don't think they expected. Our main objection, Leonard, is that we think that the NYU plan really threatens the character of Greenwich Village. And I might just add...
Has that happened before? Didn't people feel the same way with earlier buildings?
Well, it has. It has happened before, and NYU actually has, unfortunately, a poor track record when it comes to new construction in the village. For a university of such prestige, we think in the community that they've hired substandard architects along the way. And, of course, you know that this area, ironically, is the same location where Jane Jacobs herself fought battles against Robert Moses. But I should also add that there's actually a fifth building that's being proposed as part of this plan, which is a temporary structure in Washington Square Village, which would add 10 years of construction to this plan. It's a temporary facility of about 25,000 feet for a gymnasium and will destroy a playground in the process.
And it would only be temporary?
Correct, only temporary.
Then they're going to build another gymnasium?
That's correct. They're going to build another gymnasium in the new Zipper Building. So to us, that is insult to injury.
What does your vote mean? Does Community Board 2 have the power to prevent it from going forward, or is this just a matter of you giving your own recommendation?
Community boards are advisory. We have no authority in the sense that we can turn a project down. But we do think that public opinion is an important platform, particularly on issues like this when it involves land use and neighborhood character.
Well, you say that it's united the neighborhood. So you held public hearings on this?
We held dozens of public hearings over the last 5 years, really. And I have to say, there wasn't a single resident unaffiliated with NYU who spoke in favor of the plan.
But supporters of the plan say that this is just another case of NIMBY, not in my backyard. Is there a larger issue here, one that affects the city as a whole?
Well, I reject the notion that it's NIMBYism. The fact that the idea that somehow this is a utilitarian argument, that the city benefits on the back of Greenwich Village residents, is just unacceptable in my opinion. And I might also add that there were a lot of people coming to our public hearings opposing this plan from places outside the village, really from all over the west side of Manhattan.
Mark, you're an NYU faculty member. Can you explain why the university needs so much more space?
Can I explain why they need
so much
more space?
Well, I'm sure that you've talked to the faculty, haven't they? And have you felt cramped?
I often feel personally cramped, but that's not got anything to do with this plan. Actually, I feel cramped because of the plan, to be perfectly honest. I want to make clear how radical this plan is. We're talking about a construction project that is scheduled to take 19 years.
Why is it taking so long?
You mean to get off the ground? Or?
If you build something, you know, once you start building it, even the new Freedom Tower, whatever we're calling it these days, it's taken 2 or 3 years. And then it had when they finally started construction, and that's and it had to have all sorts of special things built into it.
Yeah, well, this it's staggered into different phases, you see. I mean, it'll begin with the destruction of the playground in the courtyard of Washington Square Village. On that site, they'll build a so-called temporary gym, which isn't actually a gym because it's only going to be used by the basketball and volleyball teams, and students and faculty won't be able to get in to use it for any other purpose. When that's destroyed, they'll then, on that site, build an enormous so-called boomerang building. I mean, I could go on at great length about, you know, all the different phases of the plan. The important thing to understand is that there are many reasons to oppose it, many, okay, which I'd like to get into. I mean, the fact that it will violate the character of Greenwich Village is undeniable, although, as you rightly note, this is an old argument, okay? And the fact that a lot of the people who live in the buildings, I'd say everybody who lives in the buildings that are standing there now is against it, vehemently against it, does, I guess, theoretically open you to the charge of NIMBY. But we have to understand that the impact on public health and the environment will be drastic, okay?
In what way?
Well, first of all, living on a live construction site for 19 years is, you know, the kind of thing that I reckon John Sexton wouldn't want to do, right? And yet he's willing, or NYU is willing, to let the residents of these super blocks live that way. And you know, in those complexes are 40% of NYU's faculty, you see. So this is the major point and the primary reason why the NYU faculty is opposed to this plan, okay? Because it will ultimately do grave damage to NYU itself.
On the other hand, hasn't the fact that NYU, one of the nation's most prestigious universities, is located in Greenwich Village added to the vitality and prestige of the area?
Yeah, that's absolutely the community board's point. We think that it's added to the prestige of the area, but the neighborhood has also added to the prestige and vitality of NYU. We think this is a case of the goose being killed who laid the golden egg, because a lot of students are attracted to NYU because it is so well integrated into the neighborhood.
But in the past, Mark, I remember the days when most of the students came to NYU from other parts of the city. It was the same as we have with the city colleges.
That's right.
When did it start attracting people from all over the world?
Well, this is over the last, 15 or so years that NYU has become a kind of global corporation, which brands itself aggressively and has programs all over the place, including the campus in Abu Dhabi and,
Shanghai, Sydney, Australia, Washington,
right.
D.C.
Right.
And then those are the ones that they're opening, but they also have one in Accra, Berlin, Buenos Aires, Florence, London, Madrid, Paris, Prague, Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Are there any other universities that have that many reels. Campuses?
Well, no. See, NYU is a good example of the corporate university at its most aggressively growth-oriented. I mean, many universities are now like this, unfortunately. NYU is the case of the – it's like the corporate university on steroids, you know. And this absolutely reckless development plan is, you know, a pretty clear expression of that recklessness. But I want to make something very clear to your audience that this is not simply a matter of people not wanting buildings in their own backyard, not simply a matter of people worrying about the quaintness of the village being destroyed. There are legitimate worries, and they are shared by the finance faculty at the Stern Business School and various members of the economics department, who are all in our group, our alliance, which opposes the plan, legitimate concerns about whether or not NYU can afford this plan. They have not yet shown the business plan to anyone. They haven't shown it to the faculty senate. They haven't shown it, as I say, to the finance faculty of the Stern School. They haven't shown it to anybody in the press. They're talking about taking on a debt, an additional debt burden of, by conservative estimates, $6 billion. Now, this is a university with an endowment of only $2.8 billion. The debt service on $6 billion is $360 million a year. Now, at a time when NYU has been cutting back on faculty salaries, benefits, and so on, this seems like an extremely imprudent move. And that's one of the reasons why we're really worried about it.
What is the administration saying will pay for all of that added expense? Well, more students?
Presumably, it'll be more students. They said at one of the community board hearings that they propose to bring in to the neighborhood over the next 20 years 10 to 12,000 additional students. I mean, we're talking about turning Greenwich Village into Midtown here.
Yeah, if I could just interject, Leonard, one of the things that we've noticed during our months of public hearings is the shortage of answers from NYU. We're really just supposed to, I think, take NYU's word for it, that they want this blank check, this 20 years of construction, without specifying exactly what these buildings will be used for. Are they for lab space? Are they for performing arts space? We really don't have the answers to that, which makes it all the more impossible for the community to support such a plan.
My guests are Brad Hoylman, Chair of Community Board 2, Mark Crispin Miller, a Professor of Media Culture and Communication at NYU, and Vin Cipolla, President of the Municipal Arts Society. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. In January, NYU opened a new campus in Brooklyn, which and then it's also built resident halls in the East Village in Soho. It has a medical campus on the east side of Manhattan, a fine arts institute on the Upper East Side. You even used to have a campus in the Bronx. So since it's already in so many different parts of the area, why are they saying they need to put so much new construction in the small part of Greenwich Village?
Well, they're planning about 6 million square feet across the city, and they're proposing about 2.5 million in the village. But it's true in that some of these other areas of the city provide a lot of opportunity for NYU. Downtown Brooklyn, for example, probably could absorb greater expansion. Of course, a lot's been happening on First Avenue. They've done things in other parts of town. There's been some recent discussions about the waterfront. And so it is very much a university of the city, and they are in other areas of New York. And some of those other places do provide opportunity. And to go back to an earlier point, money is a very big issue. And that has to do with your question about the extended development timeline, if any of this does get approved, because they're a private university and financing has to be arranged through multiple channels, from fundraising, through tuitions, through debts.
Greenwich Village is an area of mostly low-rise buildings, very few buildings over 10 stories. How tall would these buildings be?
At the highest point, it's about 300 feet. And so they are build buildings. It's a lot, big buildings. It's a lot of bulk for an area that is low rise. And of course, those super blocks were arranged post urban renewal to create a balance between height and open space, and that would be compromised through this plan.
Now, Mark, you mentioned that 40% of the faculty lives in the buildings that are already there.
Right.
Would people have to be moved out during construction?
Well, no, that's just it, you see. What NYU will not really discuss with us And let me make clear that we represent – this is a group called NYU Faculty Against the Sexton Plan. We represent over, as of now, 300 faculty.
I assume all with tenured positions. Otherwise, you might be a little afraid to do this.
Well, it's a very pertinent question. Sadly, two out of three of our members are anonymous for that very reason. And it isn't only untenured professors who are afraid to be publicly opposed, by the way. There are a few other groups that have just started up. The point is that if they proceed with this plan as advertised, dozens of top faculty are going to leave. This is a fact. I mean, we've been talking. People are already sending out feelers to other universities where they could live in, you know, peace and health. If dozens of top faculty leave, then that raises the question of where NYU proposes to put its new hires. I mean, my department right now is making two hires. Many departments are hiring new people. We're all faced with the ethical question, what do we tell these people about their likely housing, right? So if they are losing top faculty and if they have no place to house new hires, that means that there will be fewer graduate students applying to NYU. Now, this then raises the question, how do they propose to teach the 10 to 12,000 extra students who they want to bring in? The answer is obviously going to be adjuncts, you know, underpaid, overworked adjuncts. Now, NYU already has a very poor student to full-time faculty ratio. You know, it's like 29. Yale's is 12. Harvard's is 14. Now it's going to get worse. The classes will be bigger. The teachers will be, you know, as usual, unqualified and underpaid. It's hard to imagine why people would pay sky-high tuitions for such things. But all of this adds up to the very strong possibility that this plan could really badly degrade NYU's academic standing. So it has to do ultimately with a question of education, and that's where NYU faculty's own opposition, I think, is unusual.
But in defense of adjuncts, there are some pretty good teachers out there who are adjuncts who would love to be added to the faculty. That's a whole other issue.
Some of my best friends were adjuncts.
The buildings that are already there are a lot taller than what was there before. Did they require zoning variances or deed restrictions then?
Sure. It was part of an urban renewal package. And there are deed restrictions on that, on those super blocks, which run until 2021, which are a result of the urban renewal. Originally, there were six blocks there that were considered blight and were raised in order to develop those buildings.
Is that why they're surrounded by open spaces to offset their height?
That's right. And, of course, this
plan – So what will happen with these new buildings?
Well, this plan reorganizes that open space. But the open space that's there is, you know, not in the best condition. And one of the things that we've tried to highlight is trying to bring that open space back online no matter what happens because it badly needs improvement.
My guests are Vin Cipolla, president of the Municipal Arts Society. We have Mark Crispin Miller, professor of media, culture, and communications at NYU, and Brad Hoylman, chair of Community Board Number 2, the community board that covers the area that NYU wants to expand into. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with a discussion of NYU's plans to expand in Greenwich Village with Vin Cipolla, president of the Municipal Arts Society, Brad Hoylman, chair of Community Board Number 2, and Mark Crispin Miller, professor of media, culture, and communications at NYU. And before we continue, there are a number of events that are happening around this. Vin, you're going to be hosting a debate on the plan tomorrow night?
We are at Scholastic Auditorium at 7 o'clock, and I think it will be a terrific conversation. Should be packed.
And, Mark, you also have something happening?
Yeah, this Wednesday night at the McNally Jackson Bookstore at 52 Prince Street, I'm going to be moderating a panel called Is It a University or Is It Just a Corporation? The Case of NYU's Expansion Plan, which is going to have some very notable academic experts on these issues talking.
And we have all that information on our show page at WNYC.org if you want the details. Since NYU is a private university, why does the plan need approval from the city in the first place?
Well, Brad? They are seeking a number of changes.
But they own the land, don't they?
Well, they own the land, but the land was zoned for certain uses, and there are certain restrictions on the land, as Vin pointed out. And that's one of the points that we actually have a problem with, is that they're really trying to remake the covenant for open space in Washington Square Village that has existed for the last 50 years. And in addition to that, they want to rezone part of the blocks for commercial uses, which we think, and a lot of small businesses agree with us, would have a detrimental impact on the neighborhood.
Commercial uses, you're talking about this hotel.
Talking about the hotel, we're also talking about commercial uses, retail, restaurants, and the like.
So I guess they would generate some income for NYU.
Potentially, and that's going to be in Washington Square Village, which, by the way, is home to about 20% of it is home to rent-stabilized tenants. So it's not just NYU faculty. It's also middle-income people who have lived in the village for decades.
Aren't they also talking about putting a school in one of these buildings?
They are. That's one of the brighter parts of the plan. Having said that, they want
to... You shook your head, Mark.
Well, because they've been promising a school to the community for many years, and they've never given them one.
I actually couldn't agree more. And the other aspect to this school, which is a little sneaky, some would think, is that they want to put a dormitory on top of it, classroom space beneath it. And if the school construction authority doesn't agree to a school, the land will revert back to NYU. As it stands now, they don't even have a commitment from the Department of Education that they're going to get a school in that location.
Now, Vin, on the east and west sides of the two super blocks, there are strips of land owned by the city's Department of Transportation. Does NYU hope to acquire those DOT strips from
They do.
The city?
They do. There are about eight different changes that they need in order to proceed with this, or that they've proposed changes.
Well, they house so a the, playground, a dog
well,
it run?
Would be they would be demapping that land so that they could use it as part of the overall development schema. That's right. And then again, reorganizing the public space.
And would that those things, the playground, the dog run, the oldest community garden in the city, a Native American plantscape, among other things, would they be lost to the community if the plan goes through?
Brad? Well, yes, I think they're all seriously threatened. For one,
and then trees would be cut down.
Well, there's
a lot of old growth trees
would be cut. But you know, also it's important to note that where they have agreed with the Parks Department to keep the land as a park, they will have a complete and total access above and beneath the parks. So we think that's going to compromise the public spaces to make them essentially meaningless.
Aren't there a lot of empty retail spaces in the area already?
Not only are there a lot of empty retail spaces in the area, but our membership has determined that there are at least 75 vacant apartments in Washington Square Village, which is faculty housing, that have been standing empty for years.
Why?
Well, you tell me. If you find out, give me a call. The problem here
I'll
is
take
that,
one.
You know, one of the things.
Oh
one
no,
of the
no
things,
not anymore.
One of the things they're claiming they have to build is faculty housing for 120 families. Well, how many faculty apartments do they already have that they're not using? So you know, this addresses the whole issue of the sort of irrationality of the plan. We have never really heard a single good argument for this plan. All we've heard is the talking point that it will make a stronger university. And our position, which I think is a rational one and based on evidence, is that it will have the opposite effect. It will make a weaker university.
Now, Vin, what do the current zoning laws say? Is NYU asking for variances in zoning for the area that they want to build on?
Yeah, no, they have to acquire changes to the zoning in order to do this. They
because
have
a, residential to commercial in some cases.
All kinds of changes. They have an as of right build opportunity post 2021 when the deed restrictions from the urban renewal run out on the Morton Williams site, but really, this is a rezoning of these two super blocks in order to achieve some of this.
Now, NYU says that its plan would add open space to these blocks, even though they'll be adding some buildings with large footprints on what is now open space. How did they come up with those figures?
The DMAP strips on the border, again, it's a reorganization of space that's in there. When you do look at the proposed development versus the existing plan, and you look at open space just by the nature of renderings or drawings, it's hard to see where the additional space does come from.
Well, if I could add, Leonard, what good is open space when it's when it abuts a 250-foot building that casts shadows during most of the day? And that's one of another concern that we have in the community, that this open space, while it is on the map, it's not going to be in existence.
There's already an open space that was designed by the renowned landscape designer Hideo Sasaki, which has a fence around it and which few people ever go into.
No, this is actually not true. The university claims that it's never used. It was inaccessible for a while precisely because they kept the gates to it locked, okay? It used to be accessible, and now it is accessible again, and there are often people out there. It's right outside my window. I think we have to understand that this phrase open space is a bit disingenuous because people are objecting to the destruction of green space. Okay, the courtyard of Washington Square Village is largely green space and includes that famous landscape garden, okay? They then claim, oh, no, no, we're going to add open space. So there's a kind of sleight of hand going on here. The open space they're talking about is a kind of plaza you see outside a shopping mall with maybe a few saplings, you know, in urns. This is from the institution that calls itself Green NYU. But that, as far as we're concerned, that's just greenwashing.
And the real goal,
destruction of natural space.
The real goal seems to be to make a quadrangle, to kind of to create the quadrangle that NYU had 30 years ago in Washington Square Village by erecting those two boomerangs at either end of the Washington Square buildings.
Now, did representatives from NYU make presentations to the community board as to how the plan will affect traffic and transportation, open space, health and safety, and other concerns?
They did. These EISs, as they call them, are always notoriously suspicious, but they did show a significant impact, particularly in the area of traffic, and I know Vin's group looked at that in particular. Mm-hmm.
By all means. I mean, it increases increases everything if this development were to happen, and from subway rides and congestion at the nearby subway stations to vehicular traffic to pedestrian traffic.
Well, has an environmental impact study been done?
NYU has been providing ongoing analysis and has been making its presentations to the community.
But the analysis they've provided has got a lot of gaps in it. You know, they don't talk about temporary structures, for example. There's no discussion of the environmental impact of building this large so-called gym and then tearing it down. That's not in there at all. They don't talk about the destruction of a flourishing ecosystem in the courtyard and outside. This is a place where some 40 species of birds nest or feed or rest on their migration routes. Also, they kind of gloss over the fact that they propose to destroy an underground parking garage that has 650 spaces in it, okay? Now, if you've ever walked around the neighborhood, you'll see that there are about 280 spaces on both sides of the street around the northern superblock. So they will be adding over 600 cars to the streets. They say, well, in a few years, we'll build another parking garage in the Zipper building, but that will only have 350 spaces. So there'll be a net loss of 300. These are serious concerns for the people who live in the neighborhood and also for anyone who cares about the welfare of the planet, because ultimately there is a kind of overall destructive effect ecologically as a result of this.
Well, there is a monarch butterfly site there that probably will stop attracting butterflies. A caller asked you to address the rezoning of the area from West 4th to 8th Streets, which is referred to as Washington Square East Loft Blocks. Do you know about what's happening there?
Rezoning from...
this is something that you haven't heard of either, Brad? I trust my audience to be very knowledgeable.
I'm certain they are, but it's not on the tip of my tongue.
Okay. So how do you – we've been talking a bit about how all of this – how this plan will affect NYU faculty and students beyond the inconvenience of construction, the cost that it will – the cost that it will generate for a while. But let's talk about the philosophical aspect of this. Brad, every college town has town versus gown conflicts. Is NYU unusual in that it doesn't have a contained gated campus like Columbia, like Harvard or Yale.
Yeah, I think it is unusual, but that's one of the terrific things about the university. And one of the things we're concerned about on the community board is that they want to actually wall themselves off from the rest of the neighborhood. And that's why these boomerang buildings in Washington Square Village pose a challenge to that type of integration.
Well, supporters of the plan have suggested that village residents are wealthy elitists and that since the rest of the city is undergoing massive development, the village shouldn't be exempt.
Yeah,
what
well,
do you say to that, Mark?
First of all, I ask where those supporters live, okay? That's a pertinent question. Second of all, I would reemphasize the fact that there are a whole lot of people in Washington Square Village who live in rent-stabilized apartments. But third of all, I would simply note that this is not an issue of elitism. As far as I can speak for the faculty that opposes the plan, as far as we're concerned, it's about a fundamental, as you would put it, philosophical question about what the nature of a university is. I mean, is this a university or is this a real estate behemoth, you know?
Well, to what extent does NYU's Board of Trustees affect the university's plans in this respect? Aren't most of those trustees from the real estate and business communities?
Yes, they are. That's a fact that we've been mulling over as we try to figure out precisely why the administration is pushing for this plan so hard when it's clearly kind of reckless and will have destructive consequences for the university itself. We can't help but wonder whether or not some of the trustees may be pushing for it very hard for reasons of their own, you know?
You know, one of the things that we, along with the borough president and elected officials, did a few years ago was have NYU sign some guiding principles for development. And one of those principles was that they would look to other locations to build, such as downtown Brooklyn. And we feel like they haven't gone through that exercise completely before they proposed the NYU 2031 plan.
We're talking about NYU's plans for expansion, been rejected by Community Board too, but still has all sorts of other places that it will go to, and they are likely, is if what happened in the Atlantic Yards situation is any indication, likely to support the expansion. My guests are Vin Cipolla of the Municipal Arts Society, Brad Hoylman, the chair of Community Board 2, and Mark Crispin Miller, a professor of media culture and communication at NYU. And by the way, we have a slideshow on our show page with images of the proposed plan. What about taxation? Does NYU pay any taxes? Would this expansion in any way help the city?
Well, they don't pay real estate tax. They're a nonprofit, and one assumes that the hotel, if it is built, would also be exempt. That's something that I think has rankled some, again, small business owners in the neighborhood.
So there would probably be some lost revenue. Well, it wouldn't be lost revenues because we would just be losing a community garden.
I don't think you can dispute that NYU is a economic engine for the city and its overall goals. But the question is, where should they be, making their new campus? Is it in the village or is it on one of the many other campuses that you noted elsewhere in the city?
And Vin, hasn't the Municipal Arts Society suggested that the expansion take place elsewhere?
Well, we have been underscoring that there are other opportunities for NYU in addition to Greenwich Village.
Michael Kimmelman of the New York Times has been talking about that as well.
He has, and they're already in these places. So, and those places do provide potentially more room in a not the same mix of factors. So, and as you've already noted, they're expanding very aggressively around the world. So they're not just committed to Greenwich Village.
But isn't part of NYU's cachet that it's in Greenwich Village?
Well, yes. That's a great deal of the reason why faculty like myself and many students want to go there is because it's in the village. It's not in some place that looks like, the business district of Tulsa. But there's something.
And Henry James lived across the street.
Indeed, he wouldn't want to live there now. I'll tell you that. There's one aspect of the economic question here that we haven't really mentioned, and I want to mention it now because it really is crucial, and it allows me to refer to the student opposition to the plan. And their opposition is based primarily on the fact that this plan will be financed largely by student debt. Graduates of NYU come out of the place with a far higher burden, a far heavier burden of debt than any other cohort in the country, it essentially means they'll have to spend years and years and years to pay that off, having spent all that money on tuition. That's what's going to finance this plan, and that's one of the reasons why they think that it's ill-considered, to say the least.
So, Brad, where does it go from here? Isn't the borough president, Scott Stringer, looking at it at the moment? When will he make his decision, and will it matter before it goes to the City Planning Commission and then the City Council?
Absolutely. I think the borough president is a key player here. He himself has negotiated some significant deals with Columbia University and Fordham University. So we're hopeful that he will take the same kind of concerted approach toward NYU.
Has Mayor Bloomberg talked about this at all?
Well, I would, you know,
do we know what
hazard a guess that we don't really have to hear him say anything about it because we know he's for it. You know, he's very he feels hospitably towards the things like this, and I would be very surprised if he would oppose it in any way.
Now, Vin, we're talking about a small area here, but if this plan goes through, what would the precedent mean for other large development projects in the city? Well, and don't we have a precedent to some degree? Municipal Arts Society was opposed to the Atlantic Yards project, and then it went through anyway, although it seems that money is what has tied it up, not any of the objections that you and people in that area offered against
it.
Well, we
have a history of having expressed concerns about some mega developments because they, they just lack human scale. And the kind of vitality that we associate with New York neighborhoods, and so some of these very large development schemas are of concern, and very frequently there are big towers in the park type plans, and in this case we're in a way sort of preserving a towers in the park schema, but within a very dense contextual environment. So, but with each one that does get approved, to your point, it does inform how other rezonings do go. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure on historic neighborhoods, particularly in New York, where there are institutions within them seeking to expand space.
Now, one of your objections to the Atlantic Yards project and objections that people had earlier to the World Trade Center project was that it blocked off through streets. Hasn't NYU already blocked off a number of through streets in building the housing it has now?
Well, those streets have been blocked, and in their proposal, there's a little bit of a reopening of Green Street from north to south. But our approach to this is that the blocking of streets is not a good thing. Inhibiting pedestrian flow is not a good thing. Walling off within an urban environment, in a livable urban environment, walled off parts of the city are not good for the overall community.
Now, can this the area support this much construction? Will new utility lines, water, electric, sewers, etc., have to be added?
I'm certain of it, and they've laid out some of those plans already. And that's an issue because some of the folks who live in Washington Square Village are seniors, and they're going to see the golden years of their life interrupted with 20 years of construction. So that's why we think this plan is just too big, too much, and takes too long.
And a reminder, we have a slideshow of with images of the proposed plan on our website at WNYC.org. The Municipal Arts Society will be having an event tomorrow night at 557 Broadway at Prince Street, the Scholastic Auditorium. And then on Wednesday, Mark, you'll have an event at McNally Jackson Bookstore. My great thanks to the three of you for being on our show, Vin Cipolla, Brad Hoylman, and Mark Crispin Miller. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you
very much for having us on.